Sunlight sparkled on the surface of the water, sending daggers of light flashing towards Sherlock's eyes. He blinked repeatedly and tried to keep his eyelids half closed to minimize the glare. The tiny rowing boat rocked gently in the middle of the lake. Around it, just past the shoreline, the grassy ground rose in all directions, covered in a smattering of bushes and trees. It was as if it were located in the middle of a green bowl, with the cloudless blue of the sky forming a lid across the top. Sherlock was sitting in the bow of the boat, facing backwards. Amius Crowe was sitting in the stern, his weight causing his end of the boat to sink lower into the water, and Sherlock's to rise higher out of it. Crowe held a split cane fishing rod out over the lake's surface. A thin line connected the tip of the rod with a small clump of feathers, which floated on the surface of the water. A lure that, to a hungry fish, might look like a fly. Between them, in the bottom of the rowing boat, sat an empty wicker basket. "Why did you only bring one rod?" Sherlock asked, disgruntled.
"This ain't a day's fishing," Crowe replied genially, eyes fixed on the floating lure. "Much as it may look like it. No, this is a lesson in life skills."
"I should have guessed," Sherlock muttered.
"Although it's also a way to get some dinner for me and Virginia tonight," Crowe conceded. "I always, if possible, try to arrange that what I do serves several purposes."
"So I just sit here," Sherlock said, "watching you fish for your dinner."
"That's about the size of it," Crowe smiled.
"And is it going to take long?"
"Well, that depends."
"On what?"
"On whether I'm a good fisherman or not."
"And what makes you a good fisherman?" Sherlock asked, knowing that he was playing into Crowe's hands, but unable to stop himself. Instead of answering, Crowe wound the bone-handled brass reel at his end of the rod, expertly pulling the line in. The feathered lure jumped out of the water and hung suspended in the air, glittering droplets of water falling from it and striking the lake. He jerked the rod back. The line flew above his head, the lure blurring as it moved. He whipped the rod forward again, and the lure made a figure of eight shape against the blue sky as it flew over his head and hit the surface of the lake in a different location, making a small splash. He watched, smiling slightly as it drifted.
"Any good fisherman knows," Crow said, "that fish react differently depending on the temperature and the time of year. Early morning in spring, for instance, fish won't bite at all. The water is cold, and it don't heat up much, because the sun is low, and its rays bounce off the water, so the fish are sluggish. Their blood, being cold, and influenced by the surrounding environment, is flowing slowly. Wait till late morning or early afternoon, and things start to change. The fish will bite intermittently, because the sun is shining on the water, warming it up, and making them more lively. Of course, the wind will push around the warmer surface water and the little midges and stuff they feed on, and as a fisherman you got to follow that movement. No point in fishing where the water is still cold or where there ain't any food, and all that can change depending on the time of year."
"Should I be taking notes?" Sherlock asked.
"You've got a head on your shoulders. Use it. Memorize the facts."
He snorted and continued.
"In winter, to take an example, the water's cold, maybe even iced up, and the fish ain't moving too fast. They're living off the reserves they build up in the autumn, by and large. No good fishing in the winter time. Now, what have you learned so far?"
"All right." Sherlock quickly went over the facts in his mind. "In spring, your best bet is late morning or early afternoon. And in winter you were better off heading for the market and buying something from the costermonger." Crow laughed.
"A good summary of the facts. But think about what's behind the facts. What's the rule that explains the facts?"
Sherlock considered for a moment. "The important thing is the temperature of the water, and the thing that drives the temperature of the water is how hot the sun is, and whether it's shining straight down on the water or at an angle. Think about where the sun is, work out where the water is warm but not hot, and that's where you'll find the fish."
"Quite right."
The lure jerked slightly, and Crow leaned forward, bright blue eyes unblinking beneath bushy grey eyebrows.
"Each fish has a different temperature that it prefers," he continued quietly. "A good fisherman will combine his knowledge of the fish's preferred water temperature with his knowledge of the time of year, time of day, and lake turnover conditions to work out which fish will be in a particular part of a lake at a particular time of the year."
"This is all very interesting," Sherlock said cautiously, "but I'm not likely to take up fishing as a hobby. It seems to consist of a whole lot of sitting around waiting for something to happen. If I'm going to sit around for a long period of time, I'd rather have a good book in my hands than a fishing rod."
"The point I'm trying to make," Crow responded patiently, "in my own countrified homespun way, is that if you're trying to catch something, you need to go about it in a structured way. You need to know about the habits of your prey, and you need to know how those habits change depending on the local environment and circumstances. The lesson applies equally as well to men as it does to fish. Men have their preferences, their preferred locations at different times of day, and those preferences might be different if the sun's shining compared with when it's raining, or if they're hungry compared with when they're full. You got to get to know your prey so you can anticipate where they will be. Then you can use a lure, just like this pretty collection of feathers I tied together with cotton, something they can't resist taking a bite at."
"I understand the lesson," Sherlock said.
"Can we go back now?"
"Not yet. I still ain't got my dinner,"